This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And good morning, or yeah, I guess, no, it's afternoon here, I guess you could say. It's like been a crazy day, because as it is every time we're at the Pro Football Hall of Fame voting, and of course we spent, we started at 7, we went till 3, so we had a good 8 hours in there. I can't reveal the vote. The vote's going to be officially revealed at about 3 o'clock, but, naturally, here in Seattle, the big thing is trying to see what happened to Kevin Mawai, what happened to Steve Hutchinson, and I can tell you there was a good push for both. Now, the problem is, like it was last year, four offensive linemen made the top 10, and of course, they all take votes away from each other. So that, unfortunately, left all four. And last year, if you remember, we had 5 that were out there because Joe Jacoby was in his last year before going into the senior class, and so now he's out. And if you're wondering what the noise is behind, I'm over here at the Fox Theater for the honors ceremony, and I'm trying to find the quietest place possible, but it seems to be impossible. Well, right now you got every top player that's going through there. I was stopped by Franco Harris, LaDainian Tomlinson. They're kind of all going through the maze right now. And, of course, they're waiting for everybody to come over, the 5 people that are going to be going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we'll keep you up to date on that. If anybody tweets out anything, which is, going to be the case, stay tuned for that. And, of course, the numbers, and we'll load up the phone lines, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. We'll tell you what, we won't do headlines. We're going to go right to calls here. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton, how are you doing this fine Saturday afternoon, my friend?
Doing fine. How are you?
Sitting there after a long time over that today to try to get this thing. It's got to be a star-studded class.
I can't tell you because we don't know. I mean, it's like, we take it down and we vote it down to 5, and then we have to sit it down. Of course, you would have to assume that the two contributors are going to be able to make it, and that would be Gil Brandt and Pat Bowlen, the owner of the Denver Broncos. You figure that's going to be okay, and I don't think anybody's going to say anything bad and knock out Dave Robinson. I think you can count on them being in there. So now it's a matter of which players, and of course, I think it's safe to say that Tony Gonzalez is going to be first ballot. It's going to be safe to say that Ed Reed with 65 interceptions is going to be first ballot, and it's a reasonable thing to think that Champ Bailey is going to be first ballot. And again, those things we don't know for sure, because we don't get the official vote. But that leaves, if that's the case, 2 spots. And now the hope is, my goal would be, if 2 offensive linemen, Kevin Mawai and Steve Hutchinson, both make it. Now remember, they're competing against Alan Faneca, along with Faneca's going to be in the mix. And of course, you got Tony Boselli. Boselli only had 6 years, but those 6 years were so good. All 4 offensive linemen, and I think there's a consensus that everybody agrees in the room, they are Hall of Famers. It's just a matter of getting to a point where we can get 1 or 2 going, and then it starts going so everybody comes in the next year.
You're right about that. Faneca and Mawai. I mean, especially Mawai, I think he played almost 16 years, maybe 16 mm-hmm. plus?
17 years, yeah.
Years at every position, yeah. And, Alan Faneca was the stud with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know what those two both got in common, Mr. Clayton?
What's that?
They both played at LSU.
Yeah. I know. Isn't that something?
That's something, huh? They both played at LSU. Now, Alan Faneca, set that bar as far as
yes.
guards were concerned in the NFL.
I would argue that Steve Hutchinson for guards set the bar, because in fact I know one of the things that I brought up today in the room. I said, the timing mm-hmm. for Steve to be up for this vote is so fresh, because if you're just new to the room, go back and look at Quentin Nelson, the guard for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, if you saw Quentin Nelson, you're basically seeing Steve Hutchinson as a rookie, because that's how good he was. Because not only would he, number one, he was one of the smartest guards to ever play the game. He was one of the best technique blockers. You're going to 5, but he's just nasty. I mean, he's going to win the battle and then just dominate you. And that's what Quentin Nelson did. And so if you watch Quentin Nelson this year, all you're doing is seeing the repeat of Steve Hutchinson, because what the line is that, in fact, I know I've said many times, boy, Quentin Nelson's the best guard to come into the NFL since Steve Hutchinson.
Yeah, I agree with you. Quentin Nelson was real good with the Colts, and I think that was a plus that the coach picked him up in that draft. Cause, I mean, that solidified their offensive line this year. And I love to see more of the big guys get into the league, into the Hall of Fame, because I think they deserve it. Because they are the foundation of the NFL. And a football team, you start and you lose and you win at the offensive and defensive line, you know, when it comes to that. But now, Ed Reed, what else can you say about Ed Reed? Ed Reed dominated a football game. That was the only thing he ever started to take over a football game.
Yeah, I mean, again, he was so great. But see, that's the thing that's, I mean, again, it's tough because, I mean, like one thing that I said is like, okay, guys, you got to realize all four of these guys are Hall of Famers. Okay, we may only have two slots to get them in with the first ballot guys, and then you know what ends up happening. Because again, my hope was that you know one of the four didn't make the 10. Because what happens, we take it from 15 to 10, 10 to 5. But then when you have four, like it did this year and last year, they take votes away from each other. Like there's the possibility that Fanica takes votes away from Steve Hutchinson, and that you know opens a door for either somebody else or another position to be able to make it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Hey, now you look at that with Steve Hutchinson and Alan Fallon. You can't go wrong with either one of those guys.
No,
I mean those guys epitomized what it was to be a guard in the NFL. I tell you, but you know what, Tony Gonzalez. What else can you say about that guy?
Yeah,
I mean he's one of the ones that you know besides Mackey and those guys, Kellen Winslow Jr. and all that. He's one of the ones that always you know to convert a basketball player. Which he played basketball at Cal, and he played football there. But to convert a basketball player into a football player, I mean, that started some of them trends that you saw in the NFL of doing that. With Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham, and those guys coming around and playing football and basketball at the same time. You know, he just showed sheer athleticism out there when he came to playing that tight end position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. And then you think about this. Okay, so he was a basketball player, and what did he play? 17 years, has the best numbers you could ever have as a tight end, and yet he only missed like two games. I mean,
that's pretty remarkable.
In all those years, he barely missed any games, and that's, I think, just a phenomenal thing to show how good he was, how professional, how hardworking he was.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know a lot of, the football insiders, Gil Brandt is the ultimate guy. Which I know you've met him. I mean, to sit there and talk to Gil Brandt, it's like talking to an encyclopedia of nothing but NFL football. I mean, he told me one time, Mr. Clayton, right quick, he told me one time that he went to look at Hollywood and Henderson when he was in college, right? And he said he went and he tested him for the 40 time. And he said Hollywood Henderson ran his ungodly 40 time. So Hollywood Henderson met to him about a year later. He said, Mr. Brandt, he said, when you went back to the car to get your stopwatch, I moved the cones up. That's why I look so fast.
I'll tell you a story this week. Zebra, the company that has John Pollard here, they're the one to do the next-gen stats. They're the ones that do all the, putting the chips in the shoulder pads and that, judging all the speed and all that stuff. John had a press conference like he does now every year, and guess who was sitting there? It was Gil Brandt. Because remember, Gil Brandt was the first guy to have computers in scouting. And so the next day, I was over at the Sirius radio set, and guess what? There's John Pollard sitting with Gil Brandt. I mean, Gil Brandt at the age of, 85? I mean, he's still trying to study the new stuff, the new analytical stuff, to stay ahead of the game there. I mean, just remarkable.
It's just unbelievable. And isn't he the father of the McDonald's All-American team?
Repeat that again?
Playboy All-American team.
Oh, yeah, he does the Playboy All-American. In fact, we were talking about that today. He's for years has done the Playboy All-American team, and I think in most of the years, he's nailed just about every Hall of Famer that's been able to make it, and this is on the college, team.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. That guy to be that sharp at his age right now as far as leading up to where he's at right now. It's just unbelievable. Yeah.
The only weird part is that Gil would be doing the there's a show that's going to come on a little bit later on Sirius Radio, the Hall of Fame show, and so he would be doing that show. But of course, him going into the Hall of Fame, I'm actually filling in for him tonight.
Wow! You got to give the master of disaster a replacement by the professor himself. What are you doing for the Hall of Fame, Mr. Clayton? I mean, you've got to be right around that area, too, my friend.
Well, no, I remember. I won the McCann Award, so back in 2007, I was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So, flattered. You go in the same year as Andre Reed and, so many other great players. And, the great part is, again, I've been voting since 88. I was able to go into the Hall of Fame in 2007. And when you go back there, they treat you like the players or the coaches or whoever go in. And so it's so flattering to go back. I mean, I was in the parade. My wife, Pat was waving at everybody in the parade. It was a blast.
It was a great time to have all. Mr. Clayton, without even saying, we got to say condolences to Wade Wilson. He passed away there in Dallas, in Texas. There, I mean, what a guy. What he played 17 years in the NFL. And what a great guy. He passed away there. My condolences to him and his family to go out there. Yeah,
61 years old, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. Did he have it? Was he sick or something, Mr. Clayton? Do you know or anything?
Mm-hmm. But now it's a fun day. It's a tiring day because, again, when you get there, I mean, we've got into the room at like 6:30 in the morning, and naturally, a little bit of a commute to get there. So it's like that's a little bit of a challenge. But again, you do this as a labor of love because, as Dave Baker, the president of the Hall of Fame, basically says, is that he knocks on the door and he says, "Okay, I just want to let you know, we've changed your life. You're now a Hall of Famer."
Yes, you do. You're changing somebody's life. Hey, that's a fraternity for life, Mr. Clayton. That's a fraternity for life. You got to enjoy it.
Hey, JB, got to run.
All right, Mr. Clayton, enjoy the Super Bowl, my friend.
Okay. We'll continue taking your phone calls. Now, again, just letting you know, we're at the Fox Theater down here in Atlanta. They're going to be going on with the show that's going to be, going on with the Hall of Fame selections. They're going to have all the award things happening tonight. Lots of good stuff here. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. We're here in Atlanta. We're getting ready for the celebration. Really, it's a big celebration night because, first off, the Hall of Famers will be introduced, five of them. And, of course, for local interest, I mean, the big two to be watching. What happens with Steve Hutchinson? What happens with Kevin Mawai? And, honestly, we need one to get in. We don't know the vote. So anything I'm telling you right now, I can't verify. I can't do anything. They're not going to even kick that out until really right after the show. I just have the feel that one of the two might be able to make it. I don't know if it's going to be Mawai. I don't know if it's going to be Hutchinson. Stay tuned for that. But give us a call. Give us your thoughts. Thoughts on how this Super Bowl game is going to go. Thoughts. It was funny. We were able to talk to Lee Steinberg this week. And, he made the signing of Paxton Lynch a little bit more interesting. And where I say that is what he was able to say was that, he wanted to come here, one, because he likes Russell Wilson, two, because it's a running type of offense, and it fits him a little bit more. The thing that he said on Paxton is that, Paxton does two things. Now, again, didn't do too much well in Denver, former first-round pick. He's 6'6", but he likes running. He's good running and moving as a quarterback, and he also likes throwing deep. He thought that this is the best deep-throwing team in football, and that's what appealed to him. So that's why, and again, they get him cheap. He's only like $645,000 on a one-year deal. Will he make it? Who knows? I mean, he was a bust in Denver. We have to admit that. But he's also, I think, a pretty good talent. And the thing that's kind of interesting is you talk about complete the acquisition. That was a deal that John Snyder made with Denver. And, of course, Denver wanted to do is move up in the first round, get Paxton Lynch. And it's like so many of the deals for John Snyder. You move down, and at least you pick up a third. And so the third they picked up turned out to be Nick Vannett. They moved down and used the first-round pick on Jamal Jermaine Effetti. So effectively, two starters out of that. And then here it is, just out of the blue with no guarantee, you know, nothing on the line other than $645,000 if he makes the team, is that, you know, they get him back. So now you've got, you know, two starters and the quarterback. That's not a bad way to keep building talent. I think that's a pretty good thing to do. 866-979-ESPN, 206-429-ESPN. The phone lines are open here. And again, we'll be on for a, you know, a little bit more, like an hour, hour 15. Then I got to bolt because who knows how loud this is going to get. I think you can gather the scene here because, again, what this is, you know, the honors ceremony. And what they do is that they'll have every award that's going to be given that, you know, that's been waiting for. It's like you'll find out who the MVP is. Patrick Mahomes, my guess. Okay. Then, of course, you'll find out who's going to be the offensive rookie of the year. Is it going to be Baker Mayfield or Saquon Barkley? Regardless of who it's going to be, I think, you know, all these awards will be coming down tonight. Most of these awards are things that I voted on and members of the AP voted on. And so we get to find out the results of what we did. That's why, you know, the way the vote went early was that, you know, it looked like it was going to be, you know, the winner was going to be Mahomes for MVP because he was voted first team quarterback All-Pro and second team ended up being Drew Brees. And it was a distance in the voting numbers. And that's why I think it's pretty evident to see that the offensive MVP is going to be Patrick Mahomes. I don't think you even need to look at the votes for who's going to be the defensive MVP. I think it's pretty safe to say after 20 and a half sacks, it's going to be Aaron Donald. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Tell you what, we're going to take a break and then come back. Keep those phone lines open. Give us a call. Your thoughts here. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And we are here, Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, Georgia, taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. And, of course, if you're just wondering, the Husky game, 5 minutes remaining in the first half against UCLA, score tied 20. Pretty even game so far. I guess you could say, you know, that some of the slow start stuff for the Huskies on offense kind of came back at all. But also, I mean, again, you know how good they are on defense and eventually take control. I mean, it's been a remarkable season. I mean, as they continue to win. I mean, they're undefeated in the Pac-12. They want to try to get the sweep of this home series and continue along. And, you know, if they win this one, I mean, how can they not be in the top 25? I mean, I'm just stunned. I mean, they go on the road. They beat Oregon and Oregon State. Then they're sitting there undefeated, and they ended up in the AP vote being 28th. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. They're the best team in the Pac-12. I know it's not a great Pac-12 this year, and it's certainly not getting any respect. And this conference right now of the top five right now may be the least respected of anybody, and that's just amazing to think that it's gone that far. But we'll keep you up to date on the scores, but we do want to take your phone calls, get your reactions. I know we're getting a lot of texts, and what the texts seem to be asking is what goes into the Hall of Fame vote? And so it's really kind of a process that goes almost year-round. You know, we start off, and this is going to be like in about, I guess, maybe early March, maybe late February, we're going to get a list of about 128 people that, you know, are going to be, I guess a list that's going to be candidates for the Hall of Fame. So what we do is we look at that list and we see if anybody's missing. So we'll go back and add them, and what they'll do is that, remember, you're eligible for 25 years after you're playing. After you have to wait 5 years, and then 25 years later, then you go into the senior group. So you have plenty of time to go in there, and unfortunately, guys have to miss. I mean, like, for example, last year, Joe Jacoby was able to make the top 15, and actually the top 10 did not make it into the Hall of Fame. And then you had some other players getting in there, but then they kind of drift away and all that. I mean, you know, Everson Walls was one that was, you know, at his 25th year. So you have 25 years to get in, not like 10 where Edgar Martinez barely made it, but thank heavens he did. So now we'll take that list, we'll try to add a few. You know, they'll take obviously the Pro Bowl guys, multiple Pro Bowl guys. You know, like I'll give you an example next year. I get, you know, because we get the list every year who the top guys is, and it's going to be a cleanup year because again, the potential this year of three first ballot Hall of Famers going in goes against next year where you have Troy Polamalu, who I would guarantee with Ed Reed getting in, that Polamalu is going to be first ballot. You have Reggie Wayne, who is good, eventually will make it in, but probably not going to go in his first ballot. You've got other guys that really don't meet the standards they give you in this class. And so this is one where with only maybe one first ballot, you can get a few more guys in. That's going to be good because if, let's say, if Hutchinson or Kevin Mawai or Alan Faneca, they don't make it in this year, then I think there's a good chance they can get in next year. And so, again, we call it a cleanup year, and we need to have a good cleanup because the year after that, there's Peyton Manning, you've got Woodson coming up, you've got so many great players. I mean, it is just a massive list. So we take it from March, and then we get to the point where we've got the list added up, and then we start whittling it down. We'll whittle it down from the 120, 130 so, down to 25, because what we'll do is we'll take our top 25, we'll send it in. Again, we have 48 voters. There's 46 writers and two players, Dan Fouts and James Lofton. They're the two players that are voting on it. And so we'll take the list, and then we go down to 25. Then the next thing, and this is, of course, by about September or so, they'll announce it usually in October. Then the next move is to take it down to 15, which is what we're going to be talking about. Remember, there's some other things that are going on. Remember, we have a contributor committee. I mean, this year there's two contributors that were up by the committee. I'm on that committee, and we had one senior that was out there. And when we vote, that's yes or no. And usually it's going to be yes. The other way that we do it is that we take it in the room from 15 to 10, then from 10 to 5, and then the next move is to go yes and no on the 5. And once you get to that point, then we are pretty well set to see who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So we'll have 8 that are going to be going in. What's going to be interesting, there's a proposal because next year there's going to be the 100th anniversary of the National Football League. And so there's going to be at least talk of having a 2020 class that may have some additional players because, again, if you go back to the origin of the National Football League when they had the Pro Football Hall of Fame, what they did is that they had 17 players to start off. And you think about that. When they started this out, what they had was so many players to catch up on. So they said 17. And in honor of that, they take 17 others and try to put them in. So that's a proposal that may be there. So we call it a cleanup because I know in the senior, because again, we know the backlog that's there on the regular, but now there's a backlog of seniors to a point where I think that the backlog is at 23 that should get in. And then realizing the way that the voting goes as far as just, I don't know, whatever it is, protocol or just bad luck, good luck or whatever, it's a 60-40 split of offensive players to defensive players. So that's kind of the things that we do. And of course, we'll go 8 hours or so talking about it. You get a little bit of debate, but mostly it's a selling job because we're all trying to sell. And if you're wondering, people say, well, how come he didn't get in? How come he's not a Hall of Famer? It's not the case. Again, we only have 5 in a normal year to get in on the active list. But after that, 89.3% of those that make the final 15 ultimately get in. And so, it's a matter of may have to wait sometimes 5 years, 10 years, sometimes 12 years. You may have to wait, but in the end, mostly everybody gets in that makes the top 15. And so, we try to get them in as fast as possible. But again, when you only have 5 and you pretty much have 15 qualified Hall of Fame candidates, it just makes it tough. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. That's the challenge that we face. And again, we care because one of the things is, the 48 of us all want to make everybody happy. We want to make first the Hall of Famers happy because, again, these guys had great careers, could be coaches. My hope is that sometime here in the next year, what they'll do, because I was very much responsible and very much involved in trying to get the contributor committee, and we did. And, of course, now this is the 5th year of that. It's up for renewal this year. Hopefully they're going to be able to continue that because we're still catching up in all the contributors. That's why this year we got Gil Brandt. I mean, we still need to get Paul Tagliabue in. We still need to get George Young in. We'll get more owners like Bob Kraft in. That should come up here hopefully soon. But we're playing catch up on that, and we're playing this year catch up with the offensive linemen. And again, one of the nuances is that certain positions get backed up, which is unfortunate right now because here's Kevin Mawai and Steve Hutchinson in that backup with the four offensive linemen that probably are going to make the top 10. And so that makes it tough to get somebody going. We had that a few years ago at wide receiver, and it really delayed Andre Reed getting in for about 7 years because we had a backlog of about four or five wide receivers. A couple years ago, we had a backlog of about six pass rushers where Derek Thomas, the outside linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, it took him for longer to get in. And then finally, he got in, and ultimately Kevin Green got in. And so we finally took care of that pass rush. So, if we can just get one in, that's why it's so important in this one. And so when you see the results at 3 o'clock, that if you see that Mawai or Hutchinson make it in, that's good news because, again, that would mean the next year we'll get another one and then maybe two in, and then ultimately the four will all be in because all four are deserving. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us your call. Give us a call. Give us your thoughts. I mean, if you have – how much do you believe that Steve Hutchinson and Kevin Mawai should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Two former Seahawks. I mean, a guard that was absolutely dominating, a guard that meant so much to this franchise and did so well. I mean, drafted by Mike Holmgren, immediately established himself. What about Kevin Mawai? I mean, he was a center that was so unique. I mean, he was one. There was only two centers that could pull as well as him. It was Amani Dawson of the Pittsburgh Steelers and him. And it got to the point where you would have teams that had to take their defensive game plan, and they would first start to work it around Kevin Mawai, because what Kevin would do is he'd slip outside the tackle box and go blow out a linebacker, blow out a cornerback, and opening up holes to the outside to a point where each year that top running back on the team is going to get 1,000 yards. And if it's Curtis Martin, he's going to get more yards. If it's going to be somebody on this team, Chris Warren or whoever, they're going to get their yards. So those are the things to kind of watch. But again, give us a call, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
Hey, good thing when the Huskies go on a little bit of a run, because, I mean, here it was 2020, it was 14-14, and now they're up at the half now, 31-23 over UCLA halftime. But we are taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, John. How's Atlanta treating you?
Good. I mean, it's like I'm standing here on the entrance to the honors, here at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. And so, let's see, so far, because again, I had to try to find as quiet of a place as I can because, it gets so noisy because you have all these great athletes and football celebrities going through. So I had to try to get away from that. So I got over here to the entrance. And let's see, in the last 20 minutes, Mark Davis went by, Deion Sanders, Ray Lewis. I mean, it's just a star-studded event as far as that goes. And so, saw your owner, Mark Davis.
Well,
I didn't get a chance to talk to him, obviously, because I'm trying to, do the show. But
sure. Well, John, I could just tell from all the interviews that you've had with your colleagues here at ESPN 710 in Seattle that you're really glowing this week being out there in Atlanta and talking to all the great folks out there, John. It's great to see you experience that.
Does it ever get any better that you're sitting down on Radio Row and Evander, the real deal Holyfield, comes over and he's hand-delivering steak?
Pretty awesome. What I want to get to,
yeah, because he's doing endorsements right now for Angus certified beef steaks. Uh-huh. And he brought them and he had the type of sauce that he wanted. He wanted a strip steak. It was cooked medium well. I mean, does it get any better than that?
No, it doesn't get any better than that, John. I agree with you. But what I want to get straight with you, John, is Morton Henderson also brought over some sauce. Now, was it hollandaise sauce?
The bourbonnaise sauce was sensational.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, in fact, I really didn't have to eat dinner that night because, normally I don't eat until the evening. And, here it is. I'm like loading up on steak. And it's not like, these are like little strip bites. I mean, this wasn't small bite steak. I mean, these were probably, five, in each case, five 5-ounce cuts.
Wow. That's great, John. That's great. Well, they should be substantial cuts given the fact that, you know, you're being the recipients and they're giving you stuff because they're athletes. Obviously, they've got an appetite. John, I want to make clear, have you guys taken the votes yet or not?
Yeah, we've taken the votes.
For the Hall of Fame.
We
took the votes already?
We finished up at about 2:45 East Coast time. So then, you know, then of course, then it's the challenge of going through Atlanta traffic. And so the bus was scheduled to leave really what was going to be the top of the show. Okay, that was the bus that was going to come from the convention center over here to the Fox. And so I was able to, and this is where, you know, you're in a panic and you just get aggressive. So I commandeered a bus. And so, you know, about seven of us in the media were on the bus, and so we were able to come. But one of the problems is it was so packed on the roads. I mean, the one point that I looked, we were 1.9 miles away from destination, and it was 22 minutes.
Oh my.
And so then, of course, I had to get here, you know, find where everything was, find a quiet place. That's why I wasn't able to get to 1 o'clock to start the show. And then, of course, you know, we're connecting everything up. But, I mean, the amazing part is that, you know, this is where technology is so good that I hope this sounds good because, again, this is the app that we've been using. And now I'm just standing here, you know, with a cell phone doing a radio show.
Great, John. So awesome. Now, John, getting back to the Kevin Mawai, Steve Hutchinson debate. You know, in my opinion, I think that Kevin Mawai is more deserving based primarily on one variable, his versatility. He was entirely versatile. You got the sense he could play on any position on the offensive line, and although he played center, he, I think, was the most dominant center until Rodney Hudson came along, in my opinion. I mean, he was just dominant, and I just think that he's well deserving of the honor if the Hall voters choose that way. Steve Hutchinson, a close second. But I think Kevin White edges him out just a bit, John, just by virtue of his versatility.
Yeah, well, again, we'll see how it goes. But again, I mean, all four are deserving. I think that's evident.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, again, Tony Boselli gets criticized for the 6 years, but what has at least helped him was the fact that Ken Easley, of course, he had to wait 25 years, was able to get into the Hall of Fame, and Terrell Davis, but of course, it was a 13-14-year wait for him, you know, after, you know, having really four good years running out of his career and less than 10,000 yards. But that opened the door now for more Boselli talk, but I think the hard thing is for Boselli is that now you're matching up 6 years versus, you know, 7, 13 Pro Bowls, all that different stuff with Hutchinson, and 17 years with Kevin Mawai. And you're right. I mean, the one thing we were talking about in the room was unique centers. And, obviously there's Dwight Stevenson, who was very agile. Mike Webster, who was very good. You know, you've got, Damani Dawson, who, like Mawai, could make a pulling move and go outside to tackle and bury somebody. You know, those things were so effective. And, again, I thought somebody said it in the room that, you know, it's like he was the one center, one offensive lineman you had to game plan for, because you didn't know if he was going to be pulling to the right, pulling to the left. But if he pulls, he's going to open up things for the running game that's going to be hard to block.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, we'll have to see how it works out, John. Now, how about Coach Flores? How'd he fare?
It's going to be tough. I mean, you know, what has to happen, again, I'm not saying he's not deserving, but the problem is we can't get coaches in when they're going against players. I mean, if
players,
you're going to be voting on
I said it's a huge dilemma because, I think they should be slotted into the contributors aisle, John, as opposed to having to compete with the players, John.
Yeah. No, in fact, I think is what's going to happen is within a year, this is my prediction, they're going to create a coaching category. Because, again, you can make it contributor, but you can also make it coaches. And if that's the case, we can start catching up on the Don Coryells, the Tom Flores, the Mike Holmgrens, you know, the Jimmy Johnsons. I mean, all these guys deserve to be in. I mean, we're not doubting that. I mean, you know, you look at what Tom did with the Raiders. What was it, three Super Bowls?
Two Super Bowls, but his win percentage is better than Bill Walsh, John, better than Tom Landry, John. That's huge. I mean, his playoff victories were so much more significant. I mean,
eight and three in the playoffs. He was 8-3 in the playoffs.
Amazing, his winning percentage.
I think I'm trying to remember how it was phrased in the room. That's like the fourth or fifth best playoff percentage of anybody that has double digits in playoff games for a coach.
Yeah, I think it's over 600%. 600%.
Yeah.
I mean that's incredible. And we've talked about this on your show on Saturday mornings, John. I think what diminishes it a bit in people's eyes is we came over to the Seahawks. No offense to the Seahawks or for that matter their fans, but his record wasn't a stellar, and it was a bit mixed when it came to his general management skills as a general manager with the Seahawks. I think that diminished it a bit. But if you just take a look at his Raiders record, it's incredible.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that some people were saying, look at what happened here in Seattle. And honestly, I can tell you, I jumped up on the microphone and I said, but you got to eliminate that. I mean, he cannot be blamed for Ken Behring. He didn't have
right.
Ken. I mean, he didn't bring Ken Behring in as an owner. I mean, you know, he didn't have a Ken Behring that took the things where he wanted everybody voting and a tie and all that stuff, and they end up taking Dan McGuire over Brett Favre. I mean, you know, you can't blame him for that. And then, you know, not putting resources into team. I mean, you know, I would go and watch the draft. I mean, watch them go into the draft room, and you know, here's David Behring, his son, and he's going into the draft room with a voice, and he's got Sporting News, Pro Football Weekly, and all the magazines, and he's trying to, you know, help suggest on draft choices out of that. I mean, you know, how's he supposed to conquer that? It was unfair. So I told him, eliminate any talk of the Seahawks, because you can't blame him for that. He didn't create Ken Behring. He just worked for Ken Behring.
That's correct, and I'm appreciative that you did that, John. I'm appreciative of you. I mean, the guy coached 10 Hall of Famers, John. I mean, it's incredible. The first Hispanic QB to win, to be in a Super Bowl, the head coach that's Hispanic. I mean, those are some precedent-setting things we now just take for granted, thankfully. But, you know, we shouldn't forget that he was a trailblazer in so many ways, John.
No question about it. Hey, got to run. Thank you for the phone call.
Okay, John. Bye-bye.
Oh, hey, by the way, stay with me for one sec. Mark still hasn't decided on where he's going to be, but I think it's safe to say that he's gone this late. It has to be in the Bay Area. So my guess is probably going to be playing at the stadium with the 49ers. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, here at the Honors Awards tonight, which is going to be a big night because the five Hall of Famers are going to be announced tonight. Well, five that are active, of course. You would anticipate, you also see that Pat Bowlen will go into the Hall of Fame. Gil Brandt goes into the Hall of Fame. You know, Dave Robinson goes into the Hall of Fame. We got a really good group. And again, the big mystery is going to be, can Kevin Mawai, can Steve Hutchinson, or both be able to make it in as former Seahawks? I mean, we're hoping for both. I mean, again, I'm trying to be selfish about this. You know, if it comes down to it's just one, that means we get the other in next year, but we're definitely trying to do that. And of course, what's great here is that you stand here and you got some of the greats in the NFL walking behind, again, whether it's Ray Lewis or Deion Sanders, or you've got so many of these guys, you don't know at moment's notice who's going to be coming by. But we are taking your phone calls, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Commando Dave.
Hey, what's up, John Clayton?
You should be down here. This is pretty good. I mean, just standing out here watching all these Hall of Famers and former Hall of Famers and that go by.
Well, let me just say, man, it's great to be on with the professor on 710 ESPN Seattle, fresh from the Football Hall of Fame voting the day before Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, where the players play, yada, 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 and parties don't start
until 8
in the morning. So let's get right to it, John Clayton. As a Pro Football Hall of Fame writer and voter, which would you say is more Hall of Famish? Magic City, the Pink Pony, or the Diamond Club?
Well, let's put it this way. This shows you how naive and how dumb I am. It's like, we're riding around. Oh, and you'll love this story. So the Uber driver that we had is a good friend of Future. In fact, he's a rapper.
Okay.
NASCAR. His name is NASCAR. And so, he's driving the Uber. And so we're going by Magic City, and he's asking, it's like, is Magic City not the best place in the world? And, I was so naive. I didn't know. It's like, this is where they do magic acts? How bad is that? It's like, I had no idea that Magic City was going to be, not magical as Houdini, not magical as far as, take taking the anything out and surprising everybody, but it's like, yeah. So I'd have to say that the way that NASCAR said it, the victory goes to Magic City.
Okay, that's a good one. Now,
yeah, because I mean, the route that we take, whether it's the bus or whether it's a Uber driver, it basically takes you because you're coming on to one side and Magic City's on your left.
Hmm. Now, I realize Mrs. Clayton is listening, so feel free to just wink or clear your throat. Did you party till 8 in the morning at the Diamond Club, John Clayton?
I did not, because I'm not even downtown. I mean, I'm out at the airport. In fact, I'm at a hotel that's actually literally on the runway. I mean, because right next to the parking lot are four Delta jets. So full body 737 jets that for Delta. So I don't know if you would want to consider that the best partying thing unless you wanted to take a flight.
I'll take that as a wink. Let me ask you this, John Clayton. After seeing you on TV for 20 years wearing a coat and tie, when guys saw you on Radio Row in a hoodie, did anyone ask, what have you done with the real John Clayton?
No, because what happened was that, and what I did is I kind of wore some, because again, it got cold here. Now, again, talk about, wimping out. It's not me, but it's like, they canceled schools all week with the threat that it was going to get under 32, and it never got under 32. I think the coldest was 39 degrees. Okay, so I'm figuring the best thing to do is to just stay warm. So what I did is I took my kind of warm black under hoodie thing that, keeps you warm, and then, of course, I put the hoodie on, because now, say what you want, I mean, the wind was blowing. We probably had a little bit more of a walk on the outside to get from the buses over to the the media center and that. And so I dress for warmth, not necessarily TV.
Speaking of the buses, when you interviewed Jerome Bettis, John Clayton, did you two share the secret Steelers handshake?
We did not, no. Well, no, because let's put it this way. Jerome and I go back to 1990, and so we're beyond handshakes. It's a hug. I mean, I would go into the locker room when he was playing, and, it was an automatic hug. And so it's funny. I'm sitting there with Maura Dooley and Jessamyn McIntyre, and he said, hey, Jerome's right behind us. And so I said, okay, you watch. Within 5 minutes, it's going to be a hug. Sure was.
Nice. Hey, look, as you mentioned, John Clayton, you just got out of the sequestered Hall of Fame voting room. And, of course, you're sworn to secrecy about the inductees. But compared to previous years, would you say the voting was more contentious or less contentious?
I'd say maybe 2% more contentious, because again, I mean, I think you can see there's, and again, this, I don't think it necessarily affected the offense. I mean, again, there's a effect on the offensive line, but it didn't necessarily be contentious on the offensive line. It could be, I think, if you're looking for a little more contentiousness, it was probably in the battle at cornerback between Champ Bailey and Ty Law. Now, remember, we have five defensive backs, and that's a little bit of a backup because, we have three safeties, Steve Atwater, John Lynch, and, Automatic and Ed Reed, and then you have Ty Law, who I'm partial to because he went to Aliquippa and he's really good, and then Champ Bailey, I mean, what, he played 15 years and went to 12 Pro Bowls, and so now all of a sudden was flying around as like, as good as Ty Law was, that he's only had 5 Pro Bowls. And then of course everybody was bringing up the idea, it's like, hey, the Patriots have been going 18 years, 9 Super Bowls, and they haven't gotten one player in from the Hall of Fame, even though it's been 18 years. And so it was I think probably some of the biggest battle. It was more the cornerback stuff than anything else. So now the question is going to be, is it going to be Champ Bailey, is it going to be Ty Law? Ty's waited 5 years, or is it going to be both?
Well, if it's up to me, Johnny Robinson, Steve Atwater, John Lynch, Ty Law, Champ Bailey, and Ed Reed would all be in it. You can never have too many DBs in the Hall of Fame, John Clayton. Moving to the game right quick, Professor. After being in the ATL for a week, has anything changed your thinking about how this game is going to go?
Yeah, because, I mean, what happened, they had me on Wednesday do a column for the Washington Post to take the 6 biggest factors in the game and what that meant for the game. So I'm going through all the factors, and it's like, okay, what can Bill Belichick take away? And, of course, what makes it even better is that Matt Patricia did some things that affected the Rams for about a month, because he took away the edges at the with the running back, whether it's catching the ball with Todd Gurley or running the ball. They were at quarter coverage that affected, gives them them the ability on quarter coverage to have a cornerback come up and help a little bit on the run. So that that one, and that's something that's going to be copied. And then it really kind of threw them off for the Chicago game, the Philadelphia game. So they were kind of a three-week offensive mess, and a lot of it was called by Matt Patricia. Then, of course, you know, is Todd Gurley, what's wrong with him? Because, you know, he was terrible, benched, really, and supposed to be healthy. And so that's one where, you know, that's a factor. You know, the inexperience factor of you have a 33-year-old great head coach versus a coach who's now 66 and he's been to 9 Super Bowls and he's had 30 playoff games. That's a big factor. So I was going through all the factors. I was going through the factor that, and you'll appreciate this, being a former defensive back, is that here they trade for Marcus Peters. They trade for Aqib Talib. They start the season in man, and then Talib gets hurt, and then Peters has a bad stretch of about 5 weeks. And so, as Bill Belichick mentions, hey, they came back and they were playing zone the second half of the season. I asked Wade Phillips, why zone? He says, well, we had some deficiencies in pass coverage. Well, those deficiencies still might be there. So every factor I was going through pushed me from a 3-point win by the Rams to a 3-point win by the Patriots.
Wow. Hate to hear that, because to me this is the Slay the Dragon Super Bowl. As I mentioned to you before, the Rams, a.k.a. the greatest show on turf, let the Patriots sneak away with their first of 5 Super Bowl victories in 36. So since they're the ones who opened up the Super Bowl winning door for the Patriots, they're the ones that should shut it, like in the movie Jumanji. You know, the Rams unleashed this beast. Now hopefully they can put the genie back in the bottle. And lastly, John Clayton, let me give a shout-out to Maura Dooley for a great week of producing your show and having your social media back all week and tweeting out the sights and sounds of you with the likes of Charles Haley and Micah Irvin and James Harrison and all the rest. Nice job on that. Go Rams. Safe travels, John Clayton.
Okay, thank you. And don't forget Jessamyn McIntyre down there, too. I mean, that dynamic duo, I think, had at least, in my opinion, and having been at the station since Turning Sports from the start, I mean, the greatest produced week that you could ever have. I mean, the guests were absolutely incredible. The flow, hopefully I did well on the interviews, because if I didn't, then I choked, because, I mean, they had just unbelievable guests from, you know, Michael Irvin, Evander Holyfield, and we just had an absolute blast. Hey, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show at 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Okay, let's set the scene. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. We are down here at the National Football League Honors at the Fox Theater down in Atlanta, Georgia. And what we're doing, we're taking your phone calls. We're going to go two more segments, go to about 45, and then take your phone calls. Washington State basketball coming up at 3:30. And so give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. And obviously the big topic of the day is what's going to happen in the Hall of Fame voting. We will find out officially at the top of the hour. And again, the idea is going to be, I mean, you just assume that the contributors are going to make it. That'll be Pat Bowlen and Gil Brandt. Assume that Johnny Robinson is going to be able to make it as a safety guy that played so great for the Kansas City Chiefs. Assume that he's going to make it. And then it comes down to, is it going to be Kevin Mawai? Is it going to be Steve Hutchinson? Is it going to be Tony Boselli? Is it going to be Alan Faneca? And so they, you know, you figure that they'd some take votes away from the others. I do, and again, this is a prediction. And again, I do not know. They, you know, that what they do is they hermetically seal all the results. The Hall of Fame people, you know, do get it. They don't get the numbers or anything like that. I think, as you know, you would have to think that, you know, the players all know who's going to be in. We'll find out for sure. But I just predict that one of the two ex-Seahawks, Hutchinson or Kevin Mawai, is going to make it. I can't tell you which one because, again, it's so back and forth in the room. So if you had a choice, again, we want both in. All four offensive linemen I mentioned are Hall of Famers. I mean, they had Hall of Fame-type careers. I know Boselli was short, was 6 years. It was 91 regular season games, 97 games total. But, I mean, he was, in that short period, as dominating of a left tackle as you're going to find, to a point where I know that Walter Jones, who was a first-ballot Hall of Famer, one of the most natural athletes as far as a left tackle position, actually wanted the number of Tony Boselli because he admired him so much. I mean, that's an amazing story, but it's a true true story that here's Walter, when he came to Seattle as a first-round pick, he wanted Bocelli's number because he respected him so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. You know, let's go to Wheat in Tacoma. Hey, Wheat.
Hey, John, you know how I got to start it off here with the 1985 NFL. Hey, John, I like this kind of party. We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party, man. It's on, baby. It is on, the Super Bowl, John, man. Hey, John, there is one thing. I got one request from you, baby. Make it go into overtime because I don't want this day to end. Even though my team ain't in it, the Seahawks, I kind of really don't even care. I'm still a fan, John.
You are on fire today, Wheat. On fire.
I couldn't help it, man. I saw some Chicago Bears fans, and, man, it made me think about that NFL film. It was 1985, Mike Singletary. Hey, man, it's the Super Bowl, baby. It's on, man. You're naming off all these players, and holy mackerel, man. How can not the fans be fired up right now that are listening? You name off all these players, John. It's freaking awesome, man. It's just, man, alive. What a good life you're living there. And we are so spoiled that you live in our state. Ha, ha, ha. Out of all the 50 states, we get John Clayton. Woo, man, and it's freaking awesome. We're so blessed,
it's fun,
man.
But again, it's like, would you believe, this is my 42nd Super Bowl. 42. I tell you, thank heavens I started doing these things when I was 2 years old.
Holy. You know what I was like? You know, I had to get on you, John, here for that one. I can't remember if it was Brock and Soccer, whoever, or with Wyman and them, but I can't remember if you were like 17, 15, and you saw the Franco Harris tip, and one of you were explaining it to, I can't remember how old you were.
Yeah, what the story was, I'm 17 years old. I'm writing for a small paper in St. Mary's, PA. I'm in there for the Immaculate Reception, and he's coming down the, right toward me in the auxiliary press box, which was the baseball box. And so it bounces off of Frenchie Fuqua, low catch by Franco Harris. He takes it and comes all the way down for the touchdown. And a lot of people in the auxiliary press box were cheering because, they were, small papers and stuff like that. And so they were more fans than they were reporters. I turned to one of the guys who's a higher up in the league and I said, we got to see a replay because that's an illegal catch. True story.
I know. I can't believe you did that. Like right off the bat, man. I'm like, who?
I had to go with my instincts because I'm a reporter. I was like, can we see a replay of that?
Right off the bat, man. When you told that, I was just laughing my tail off because, boy, you caught it real quick, man. I'm like, who does that, man? I'm like, who the. Oh, man, and you're like looking around. I don't think that's a catch, man.
And it turned out at the 10-year anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, Frenchie Fuqua, who then was working in the circulation department, running the circulation department of the Detroit Free Press, actually said, I'm going to announce if it was legal or illegal. And he says, it's illegal.
No, I didn't. Gosh, man, all those stories, man, alive, and you're talking about all these years, just so many stories. And I know you can't tell them all, but what a, man, once I just think about that with us here in the Evergreen State, we get you here, man, it's like, oh, man, this is freaking awesome.
The one I had to get today when people were jumping Tom Flores for the Seattle days, it's like, hey, how can you criticize him when you had it set up there was a tie in the voting that they ended up having to, go to Ken. Ken says, take the 6'8 guy from San Diego State because we get more for our money. And they said no to Brett Favre. It's like, he's got to take the blame for that?
No, but and I was listening to that last caller talk about Tom Flores, and I'm like, man, that was some cool stories. The trivia that guy was talking about with Tom Flores, I didn't know that, and I was like, man, that is cool. And, of course, I just want to, Commando Dave, keep up your good job, Commando, man, because man alive you represent, so I just want to say that. But there was only one thing I do disagree with Commando, man. I'm going for the Patriots because I just have so much hatred for the 49ers, Cardinals, and Rams, and for me. So that's the way I roll because I still haven't forgotten 2 years ago when we lost, 55-10 to the Rams, and Todd Gurley ran into the Hawks after a touchdown with his number one finger up, number one, and he wasn't taunting the Seahawks players. He was taunting us, the loudest fans in the NFL. He was taunting us, and man, I was going to come out of the stands and go, I know who you're taunting us.
That's great. Hey, by the way, did you see I was able to catch up with Gronk this week?
Nice.
Because again, I had to go talk to him about, okay, you got to settle this for me, because again, he went to my high school and I had to find out if he stayed in Jason Taylor's place or Noah Taylor's place. And he told me it was Noah, who's, you know, he became one of his good friends. He had his own place with his father down there, but he did spend a lot of time with Noah. So I was able to solve that one. Hey, Wheat, thank you for the phone call, and thanks for the action.
Thanks a lot.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Last segment coming up. Give us a call. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Okay, last segment here from the Super Bowl. Of course, we'll be doing the show from Atlanta on Monday from 10 until 12. But in the meantime, taking your phone call, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Update on the Huskies. 10 minutes remain. Huskies 49-39 over UCLA. Let's go to Larry in Yakima. Hey, Larry.
Hey, John. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question here, kind of with the Hall of Fame in mind this weekend. And the ever-changing role of running backs in NFL offenses. And I think there's probably some statistical numbers where in the past maybe running backs had to reach certain numbers to be considered for the Hall of Fame. And those numbers are probably going to be changing. I've got a running back in mind who is probably now eligible for senior status. And let me see if you can figure out who I'm talking about here. And he's not in the Hall of Fame. Over 8,000 yards career rushing, almost 5,000 receiving, over 70 touchdowns, four times in the Pro Bowl, three times Super Bowl winner, over 1,500 yards in scrimmage in postseason. Those will be pretty good numbers for a running back in the future. But this guy is
okay,
not the whole
team. Yeah, because again, to come out with only eight thousand yards, is that what it was?
A little over 8,000 rushing, 5,000 receiving.
Right.
Yeah. So he's got 13,000 yards.
See, the numbers, I was thinking that, I'm trying to think who it was kind of pointing to, which I know wasn't the case. I thought maybe it would be Corey Dillon, but then Corey only went to one, and he didn't get much as far as pass catches. He had good as far as yardage. So that one I thought through and missed on. So now, with the three Super Bowls, I have to start thinking about that. I know this week I interviewed Reggie Bush, but then he doesn't have the Super Bowl resume in that, so I surrender. Who do you have?
Yeah, Roger Craig.
Okay, yeah.
Roger Craig.
He's made the 15 and hasn't made it, and I think it's like he's had his chance, and he may be one of the ones that have to wait till he's a senior to be able to get in there, because it's the 8,000 yards in an era. Now again, we know he changed the era, because what happened was that you got Bill Walsh taking a game that was pretty much a running game, no nickel and all that stuff, and turned it into a little bit of a basketball type of thing, because they brought the West Coast offense in, with the receivers running basketball type routes, to a point then you had to come back and then be able to get the inside corner and the slot corner and the zone blitz and all that different stuff. But the thing that's held him back has been the lack of running yards, and that just kind of kept him short. There's two backs from the same team that have been in the mix and haven't been able to make, because Ricky Waters was another one who for the 49ers that has been under consideration. Craig's made it a little bit further because he made the 15, but he struggles and he hasn't made the 15 in the last couple years. Now, one thing that may happen is that, let's say for example, they move the coaches into a coaching category or contributors, then that may open up two spots on the 15 to get him back in the 15. That could be a possibility, but I'd say right now, because of the 8,000 yards, in an era where still, remember, I mean, the era changed in about 2004 when all of a sudden, the running backs didn't get 320 carries a game. And you see where it is right now, where you only have nine 1,000-yard runners in each of the last 2 years. And so, that's kind of watered things down. But, he was still in the era where you had, 350, 340 carries for teams. And so his 8,000 is trying to match up against 10 to 12,000. It's almost like, some of the arguments with Pacelli as only playing 6 years and Mawai 18 and Hutchinson like 12 or 13. It's like the numbers kind of catch up to him.
Well, consider his, I mean, you got to consider a couple things. Number one, he was kind of one of the first real weapons at running back to be used in the passing game. And his yards from scrimmage of 13,000, that's pretty impressive. Whether it was running or receiving, he went over 13,000 yards in his career and 1,500 in postseason. So, and he's been retired, I think, 26, 27 years. So could he not be into the senior category yet, or...
No, he has to be 25 years out to be, actually technically 30 years out, because he's got to be eligible for 25 before he goes into the senior category. But again, you're right in the sense that, I mean, you know, he's been borderline, and, you know, and what we come to when we start talking about that, it's supposed to be, you know, is it the Hall of Fame of good? And he was good, there's no question about it, or is it the Hall of Fame of great? You know, that's why, and you have to kind of put it in perspective in that era. And again, he was different because, again, he caught more than most running backs in that era at all, and you know that was good, and that's why he does get consideration every year. I mean, usually he'll make the 25, but then when he gets to the 15, it kind of falls short. Now, I think there could be a couple more openings now in the 15 or the 25, and can move him maybe into the 15, and at least he's been in the room. That's encouraging me. So far in the room, it just hasn't worked.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, John.
Hey, Larry, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here. We're going to wrap it up and then start moving in to see how the honor ceremonies are going to go. You know, I know that you'll be able to find out who the Hall of Famers are going to be. And again, it's going to be officially announced at the top of the hour. And I know on the honors show, they're not going to be playing the Hall of Fame celebration until like about 7 o'clock, because they're going to tape that. And then, of course, starting at 4, I think that's when they're really going to start giving out some of the awards. And so it's going to be a pretty eventful evening as they try to get everything all together. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Again, we're here at the Super Bowl 53, Atlanta, Georgia. They've done a great job of hosting this week. And again, it's been just an incredible week, you know, for me having the opportunities to get all the fun interviews that I did, you know, from the Michael Irvins. And, you know, we have so many different things that, we're able to catch up on. I mean, it was a blast every day. I mean, how about the honesty of James Harrison? Because James Harrison, played to his 39 years old. He never minced any words. He was always one that was going to make sure that, if you didn't like his opinion, he didn't care. And, like, for example, he puts the blame of the Antonio Brown thing on Jerome Bettis. On Mike Tomlin. And you start to wonder, if Mike Tomlin doesn't clean that up, and I know that James Harrison thinks that with the Antonio Brown thing and everything else, they're not going to be able to clean it up. That's going to be a problem. So, again, we'll take your phone calls here for the next couple minutes before bolting off into the honors show. And, again, we want to thank Matt Nelson for running the show, for Matt Nelson for producing the show. So thank you so much. And, of course, fun to be down here and really just kind of standing in a VIP line, just waiting to see who comes in and all that. Most of the top people, I think, have already arrived. And, again, we're standing by. Dion comes by for a minute. And, you've got all the greats that have been able to pass. Ray Lewis walked right past us, and that was great. It's one of the great events here. In fact, this is the first time I've been down at the Honor Show, because usually I'm either, what it used to be back, I'll be going out to dinner with my wife. She unfortunately is not going to be here at the Super Bowl. I'll probably, after doing some radio stuff here coming up at the top of the hour, I'll probably end up going out and, just heading back to the hotel and then get ready for the game tomorrow. And again, it's going to be fun to see the Super Bowl. And if you're wondering my prediction, I'm predicting it's going to be the New England Patriots 30, the Los Angeles Rams 27 in a great game. And say what you want about the five Super Bowls won by the Patriots. Every game has been close. First three games, 3 points each. Game four, you remember that from Seattle. We won't bring back those memories. They lost by 4 points. And then, of course, their biggest win of the five Super Bowls was when they got a six-point victory over the Atlanta Falcons. But to accomplish that, they had to try to score 25 points in the second half. Just absolutely amazing. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Yeah, they had to, I mean, how about that? I mean, you know, the biggest Super Bowl victory by the Patriots was one they had to come back by 25 points. That's a margin of 19 points in five games. Just absolutely remarkable as far as that goes. Hey, again, want to thank everybody for this opportunity. Again, we had to obviously start a little bit late because we were in the Hall of Fame voting. And again, stay tuned. You'll find out maybe in about 16, 17 minutes. Did Mawai make it? Did Hutchinson make it? And my tease is, I think somebody will. Which one? I can't tell you. But somebody I think is going to make it, and I think it's going to be good, who's a former Seahawk. It'll be a great celebration. It'll be in Canton, Ohio. So stay tuned for that. And again, thank you, everybody. I'll be back on the air on Monday. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.